Our first lesson comes from Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and the faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat. And the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze. Their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our next lesson is from Romans chapter 15, beginning with verse 4. Whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Jesus Christ, that together you may with one voice glorify the Father, the God and Father of our Lord and Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you amongst the Gentiles and sing your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our gospel acclamation.
What gift can we bring? What present? What token? Words can convey it, the joy of this day. When grateful we come, remembering, rejoicing, song can we offer in honor and praise.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Congregation may be seated, and I invite the children that are present to come forward for a children's message. All right. Tonight, we're going to talk about a word that you heard several times in the gospel reading that I just read out loud. In school, they used to say we need to teach the three R's. Have you ever heard about that? The three R's in school? Reading, writing, arithmetic, right? And then it changed, and they said, well, the three R's are responsibility and relationships and respect. But the Bible has a whole bunch of R words, too. Did you catch one of those R words in the gospel lesson that I read? Did you hear what it was? Repent. Repentance. Repentance is a big word, right? Do you know what it means to repent? Oh, I'll show you. Everybody stand up. Okay, that boy, Luke. You see that screen there? Everybody look to the screen. Everybody looking at the screen? All right, now turn around and look back here at the piano. All right, now you can sit down. Did you see what we just did? We repented. To repent is to turn around, to do an about face. It means that you're going one direction and God wants you to go a different direction. Like, for example, if you were pushing and hitting and shoving someone, being mean, God might say, you need to turn around. You need to go in another direction. And instead of pushing and shoving and hitting and hurting and being mean, what would a different direction be? To be nice. Be nice. Be kind. Be loving, right? Yeah, we know that. If we're going in a wrong direction, like let's say we're facing sin and the devil, God says, I don't want you to spend all your time facing sin and the devil and death. I want you to turn around. And that's what God does for us in baptism. He turns us around. But guess what we do? We keep going back. So every day, we got to have God keep turning us around. We got to keep repenting, right? It's not once and done. Let me show you what happens. You know what this is, right? A cup, right? And, you know, in the Bible, it says that Jesus is the living water. And so God wants to pour living water. God wants to pour Jesus into our life, and he wants to keep pouring Jesus into our lives, right? So what do we do? What's the problem? Why? What's wrong?
You're turning it upside down.
It's upside down. It needs to be right side up. In other words, it needs to repent. Instead of turning its back on God, right, and all the blessings and the love and forgiveness, just imagine what happens with repentance. Now, all of a sudden, God says, I want to give you forgiveness. I want to give you life. I want to give you love. And our cup overflows with more and more of Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, repentance. Every day. Every day for the rest of our life. Because we have a tendency to turn towards sin, and God wants us to turn toward our Savior, Jesus, instead. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I want to face you. Turn me away from sin. Amen. All right, thanks for coming up. Days are surely coming. That's what the prophet Isaiah says. Throughout the season of Advent, every week, we get to look at, we get to listen to the words of the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the days are surely coming when the lion and the lamb will lie down together, and not just because they're stuffed. The days are surely coming. We live in the promise of hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Or in the words of our gospel that we hear proclaimed by St. Paul in Romans 15. Did you hear that about hope and hope? The epistle reading is proclaiming the good news of Jesus, the hope we have in Christ. It begins with hope, it ends with hope. In fact, it ends with a benediction. And I share that benediction twice a month with our dear friends at Madonna Towers in the Skilled Care Chapel. Now, did you hear that? Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I mean, that's abundant hope. That's over-the-top hope. That's exhilarating hope, right? Fill you with all joy and peace. Where is it that we find our joy? Where is it that we find our peace? In believing in Jesus. That's what Paul is blessing or providing a benediction for. The Christians in Rome, he wants them to know, now, this is what I want for you. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing. Paul has been talking about hope a lot, writing about it, proclaiming it throughout his letter to the church at Rome. In chapter 5, you may recall these words. This is what hope is about. In the season of Advent, as we wait for the promised coming of Jesus Christ. St. Paul writes, Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. Because we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. And we rejoice in this hope, this grace in which we stand, Paul says, because we live in the hope of sharing the glory of God. And even more than this, Paul says, we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? We rejoice in our sufferings because we have learned, we have come to know that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. God's love is poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit. And it's that gift of the Holy Spirit that keeps repenting us, that keeps turning us around. You know, because I thought about this roundabout image. How many of you have been in a roundabout, right? I learned about roundabouts for the first time when I was a pastor out in Tacoma, Washington. And a lot of people don't know how to drive in roundabouts. They just don't know what it's about. And it's interesting to see what happens. Some people, they go into a roundabout and, well, they might just simply drive through it and keep going the same direction. And some people might take a right, or they might take another right, which is actually a left. But there are some people that come to the recognition, and they say, you know what? I'm going in the wrong direction. And I don't have to keep going in the same wrong direction. I can actually do a U-turn. I can actually get into that roundabout, and I can come back, and I can go in the direction that my good Lord Jesus Christ prefers for me, right? My wife, she picked up her sister Joni from the airport, and she told me, well, it took us a little longer to get home because when you're on 35E, right? 35E, like you're going north, you got to take the 96th Street exit. And they got maybe 5 miles after that. But the thing is, they figured out what? We missed our turn. We've got to turn around. And that's what John the Baptist is preaching. And that's what we hear proclaimed by the prophet Isaiah. Things are not like they should be. And someone's got to turn things around. We can't keep going in the same direction, because if we keep facing the devil and sin, it's going to only lead to death and destruction. If you look at the 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah, you see the wrath of God poured out. You see destruction. You see calamity. You see gloom and doom. It's not a pretty picture. God's people repeatedly, in spite of all the pleading that Almighty God did with his people, they kept going in the bad direction. Sexual immorality, exploitation of the poor, and worshiping all kinds of fake gods. even to the point of sacrificing children to the baby killer god called Molech. And it's got to stop. This is the wrong way. It's not a matter of saying, well, maybe we can just take a little detour. No, we've got to do an about face. There has to be a complete turnaround, a turning away from sin and a turning toward God. And so the wrath of God is being poured out in the book of Isaiah upon God's people. But only because God wants to restore them, only because God wants to redeem his people and show them mercy. And so God never gives up hope. And throughout the prophet Isaiah, you get these wonderful little passages, these little vignettes, if you will, of hope. And that's what we're looking at during the season of Advent. Last week, it was Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, which a lot of people would say is, in fact, five verses that summarize the entire 66 chapters of Isaiah. The days are surely coming when all the nations are going to want to go up to the highest mountain of all, the mountain of God, where they can learn God's ways and be instructed to walk in the path of the Lord. And when that day comes, well, then we won't learn war anymore. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, but instead, swords will be transformed into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. That day is coming. And then tonight, in Isaiah chapter 11, we hear another portrait, picture, a vignette of hope. All is not gloom and doom. All is not lost. God is not giving up on his creation. Every day he's pouring out his spirit and turning his rebellious people around. You know, like that glass I had. What's the problem? Well, when we turn our backs on God, right? How in the world is God supposed to pour his forgiveness and mercy and love into us? And we need the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, that's going to take us and turn us right side up, so that God can pour forgiveness and love and mercy into our lives over and over again. And when that day comes, the days are surely coming, says the Lord. Messiah is going to come. It doesn't matter how hopeless it looks. I know what you're thinking, but it's just a stump. What hope is there now when all you have is a decaying, rotting, smelling stump? But Isaiah is able to hear the word of the Lord and see the word of the Lord. And he knows that there's hope because God has promised it. And God's word, Isaiah 55, never returns empty. Out of that dead stump, guess what's going to come forth? A shoot. Out of the stump of Jesse. Jesse was the father of King David. Now keep in mind what's happening historically. The Assyrians have already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and Judah is just a vassal. And in 587 BC, it'll be the Babylonians' turn. And they will come, and they will siege against Jerusalem, and they'll break a hole into the walls, and they'll be coming in. And the last king in the lineage of David, Zedekiah, the last of the Davidic kings, he will try to escape, and they'll catch him. And then what they will do to him is that they will make him watch as they massacre his sons right before his very eyes. The last thing that Zedekiah sees is the butchering of his own boys. And then they gouge out his eyes and they cart him off to Babylon, where he dies in a dungeon. And that's the end of the Davidic dynasty. Nothing but a stump. Or perhaps because hope does not disappoint us, because hope is not wishful thinking or naive optimism, maybe the word of the Lord is true, that out of the stump there will come a shoot. That's another word for scepter, royalty. The root of Jesse, Messiah Jesus, will also be the shoot of Jesse, the ruler of the kings of this earth. And when Messiah Jesus comes, when that day of fulfillment of promise comes, guess what it's going to be? It's going to be unbelievable. And I'm not just talking about stuffed animals. I mean, a lot of people have their rooms packed with stuffed animals, right? No, we're talking about the peaceable kingdom. When we don't learn war anymore, and when military weapons become agricultural instruments, and when predator and prey, I mean, they walk together. Enemies and friends, right? There's no longer categories of enemies and friends and hunter and hunted. They walk together. They play together. They have fun together. They eat together. That day is surely coming. The wolf, the lion, the lamb, the goat, the bear, the calf, and a little child. A little child. Probably about Luke's age, will lead them. And a little child, maybe Hope's age, will be out there playing where you've got a whole bunch of snakes. Daryl isn't here tonight, but he talks about the areas around this area in southeastern Minnesota that are just full of rattlers, right? And I think they're kind of protected, aren't they, where you're not supposed to shoot them and stuff, you know? Imagine the day that Isaiah is privileged to see when Messiah Jesus comes, the advent of our God, when you're not going to have to worry about little kids and about, oh my goodness, they got into this zoo, into the cage where there's a gorilla or there's a lion or there's a tiger or a bear. We won't have to worry about that anymore in this peaceable kingdom of God. What a beautiful day it will be. And you see how God gives us little snapshots of that? Like, for example, out of a dead decaying stump? Really? A new shoot? Well, I used to go when I was in Little Falls, Minnesota, out once every month or two to see Alice Nelson and her daughter Cindy. Cindy was very shy. I would take Alice communion. We'd pray together, have scripture together. Her daughter Cindy took care of the sheep. And she also had a wild Mustang that she had rescued and saved from out west. So even though she was shy, after maybe 6 or 8 months of me going out there, then she would sit around the table with her mom and me and we were visiting. Well, one of those visits, Alice said to me, and Cindy's sitting right there, they said, "Did you see it?" And it's kind of like, well, did I see what? Do you mean like, is there something out there with the Mustang? Is something with your sheep? Did I see what? Oh, you missed it. You know that great big pine tree we had? I said, oh, yeah, that one that was like what, 75 feet high? It was just huge. Big windstorm. Snapped that baby down. Just like it was a toothpick. And so they had to saw it, and all that had been left of it was this little stump that was eroding, you know, rotting away. She said, did you see it? And I said, well, I know what tree you're talking about, but see what? There's a shoot coming up in the middle of it. I said, really? I'll have to look at that before I leave. You know what we did? And Cindy comes in, and she's got this great big pine cone. She said, Mom and I were out in California, and we brought some of these back. I mean, these are big pine cones. She said, you know what these all are? These are seeds. All those little nodules, if you will, on the pine cone, those are seeds. So we decided, just for kicks, we took a bunch of those off. We put them out there in that kind of, you know, decaying stump. And guess what happened? A shoot came up. A pine tree. Out of a dead stump. Just from a seed. It's just amazing. And when I would go out there, I would get to watch it. You know, a foot, 2 feet. Pretty amazing watching this grow. And when you know the story of it, right? And then we moved, and then there was a Christmas card that came a few years back from Alice. She said, I thought you might want to see the tree. Taller than that one. I mean, you're talking about 15, 20 feet. It's absolutely amazing. That's what Isaiah got to see. When people think it's impossible, when people say it's nothing but gloom and doom, there is no future, it's all over. And God just smiles and says, let me show you something, Isaiah, and make sure that you show it to the people of Israel, because we got a future. And we've always got hope, because hope does not disappoint us. The lion and the lamb, they're going to lie down together. In December of 2015, 4 years ago, the Siberian News, they told a story about what was happening in a Siberian zoo. And what they would do over there is they had a big tiger and they needed to feed. You know, when you have a zoo and you have your wild animals in captivity, you need to feed them. So they would bring in the food, a live goat, for the tiger to maul and consume. And that's what he usually did. But then all of a sudden, something surprising happened. There was a goat that was put in there, and it wasn't consumed. Instead, the tiger and the goat, they became playmates. They became buddies. They became best friends. And they thought, this is crazy. And they had one of these, animal psychologists. They said, what's going on here? And they said, well, it's like, you know, a hierarchy of need. That when you have a tiger in captivity and doesn't have to look about finding a mate and, you know, finding its own food to eat because the food's always provided for it, well, all of a sudden the need changes. And even more important than a meal is company. Now, they did say, you need to keep in mind there's still an 80 to an 85% chance that someday this wild tiger is going to turn on its best friend and going to eat it. But to hedge their bets, you know what the zookeeper did? Changed the diet of that tiger to rabbits. Rabbits only. I wish, you know, I read this story a while back. I thought, I wish that I could find out the rest of that story. If that tiger and that goat are still getting along and keeping company, or because repentance needs to happen every day, if all of a sudden, you know, the predator and the prey, that they turn back to the old ways, the wrong direction, rather than the good direction. The days are surely coming. We don't lose hope, and we don't lose heart. And last picture I'll give you. This is from a year ago in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. There was a hardened criminal who had a long rap sheet named Jacob. And you know the name Jacob means grabber. Well, he was always grabbing things he shouldn't. He spent a lot of time in jail and in prison. Jacob was a drug dealer. He was a gangbanger, right? And then there was a cop, lifelong cop named Ray, Milwaukee police officer. And so the two of them, over the course of time, got to know each other and dislike each other. Well, supposedly, the day came when Jacob said, I don't want to keep going in this direction. I need my life to turn around. So the district attorney got Jacob and Ray to come to a cafe to sit at the same table and to have a cup of coffee together. And all they did the whole time is stare at each other. The whole time. They just stared at each other. And then someone asked Ray, the police officer, so what were you thinking? He said, I knew that I could bet on it, that this loser was going to go back to crime and drugs and stuff, and then I'd have to hunt him down and put him back in jail. I just know it. Well, you see, Jacob really was serious about this gift of God that's called hope and repentance. He said, I want to change my life. I want my life to be different. And so Ray says, okay, I'm going to find you a whole bunch of interviews, 14 or 15 interviews in 2 weeks. You serious about this? I want to see you go to all 14 or 15 of those interviews in 2 weeks. And Jacob did. And then he got hired by, it's an organization called Community Warehouse in Milwaukee. It is a home improvement store. And what they do is, especially with ex-cons, they give them tools, trade tools, job skills. You know what I'm talking about, right? So lo and behold, that's where Jacob got a job. And then 8 years passed, and he moved into management. And then a year ago, Ray decided it was time to retire as a police officer. So guess who he went to see? His friend, who used to be his most hated enemy, Jacob, and got a job at the community warehouse. And in the last year, the lives of 12 ex-cons have been completely turned around. Dear friends in Christ, hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the crucified and risen Jesus, the Messiah. David's root and David's shoot. Our Lord, our Savior, he came and he's coming again. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.